Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
The football recruiting calendar will return to normal, at least a close bit of it, in June with camps and visits. We'll break down what that means for Purdue on Gold and Black Radio. We'll talk to Brian Uber here in just a second about that. Tom Dienhardt in to talk a little bit of football later as well. I'm Kyle Charters. Let's jump right into this. Talk a little bit of football recruiting with Brian. Brian, the calendar gets back to normal for the first time, or at least somewhat normal, for the first time in a year and a couple months. That will be nice to see here this summer. Will Purdue just be able to jump back in and have some bit of normal again in football recruiting?
Yeah, something close to it. I mean, you know, they're going to be able to host official visits in June again, and presumably, you know, they're going to be able to have camps one way or another to work around whatever restrictions still exist on campus. But it's going to be, you know, at least on paper, it's going to be normal. Now, the actual processes involved, you know, probably aren't going to be, you know, completely normal. I would imagine there's still going to be some oddities about these visits. I don't know if you're necessarily back to piling, you know, 20 people in a little passenger van for a tour around campus or to go to dinner or whatever, you know, things like that. But you can have your visits again. You presumably can have your camps again. In basketball, I think the coaches are going to be able to go out on the road during June to do off-campus evaluation for the first time since all this started. You know, people probably forget that right before the pandemic, the NCAA implemented an off-campus recruiting period in June for scholastic events, high school camps, things like that. So I assume basketball coaches will be able to do that. I haven't seen anything official on that yet, but that's the general expectation. So at least officially, you know, things go back to normal. How normal they're going to feel, I don't know, but at least on paper, everything will be as it was.
Do you think that there will be some changes in terms of strategy of how coaches deal with visits and things like that, because they have not had kids on campus for more than a year? And that, in my opinion, that would mean you would want to bring in as many guys as quickly as you possibly could, right? I mean, just to sort of, I don't know if catch up is the right word because everybody's been in the same scenario, but, you know, to be able to hit as many guys as you possibly can and get them on your campus.
Well, yeah, I mean, all of these guys are chomping at the bit to get to campuses, and all of these coaches are chomping at the bit to make sure that that 5'11" wide receiver they're recruiting right now isn't 5'4", you know, actually see guys in person. Coaches are going to want people on their campuses. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on here, too, concurrently. In terms of official visits, you know, this is all happening right on top of, you know, all of the transfer stuff going on, too. So a lot of schools, Purdue among them, are going to move closer to probably a 60-40, 50-50 sort of split every year between that might not happen right away, but they're moving in the direction of this, where your classes are getting closer and closer to being half transfers and half high school kids. So what that means is you're going to have to manage this a lot more on the front end. Your batting average is going to have to be better on the high school kids you do take. It's not just a matter anymore of taking 25 high school guys and the 8 who work out or the 10 who work out, you know, standing the test of time in your program and everybody else kind of falling into roles or falling out of the program, that kind of thing. The battle of attrition in college football recruiting is kind of no more. So you have to be smarter with how you use your scholarships. Nobody wants to fill up in June anymore, probably, because you never want to go into the fall without any scholarships. Scholarships don't open in the fall either, whereas, you know, they will in the spring and summer. So coaches are going to have to be pretty judicious in what they do with these official visits in June, because you don't want to host 10 dudes on the first weekend of June and this will be the situation Purdue's in, because they're going to have a really big weekend, I think, that first weekend in June. You don't want to host 10 guys in June and get all of them and, you know, then all of a sudden be done recruiting for the year. So, you know, coaches are really going to have to manage this. They're going to have to be strategic in terms of who they bring in, when they bring them in,
yeah.
you know, things like that. And, but they are going to want as many kids on their campuses as possible, because this is your first opportunity to do so. And it's going to be really, really important too, not just on the class right now, the class of, you know, 2022, but it's going to be really important for those underclassmen to, you know, be coming through your campus in June and whatnot too, because that lays the groundwork, you know, for your classes
yeah.
to come. And that's where this cycle right now is especially messed up. These guys who are taking their official visits now haven't been able to take visits for a year and a half, whereas they would have taken
mm-hmm.
a bunch under normal circumstances.
Is that where you think the number falls, 60-40, in terms of high school versus transfer? It's an interesting question, because the number generally probably is, what, somewhere around, what would you say, 20% of in the past at least, 20% of classes don't end up making it to the end of their tenure at the school that they committed to. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing that number off the top of my head. To me, it seems like if you were a coach, maybe you just try to fill those guys who departed with other, you know, veteran transfers, and that might be a good way to keep your numbers the same. But I don't think you're counting on 40% departing. I don't know if any of what I just said made sense, but you think that number ends up being somewhere around 60-40?
Well, I think that's the direction it's moving in. You know, I think, you know, what you've seen in Purdue recruiting for the last couple of years is Purdue's been very aggressive with its scholarships. They've
yeah.
generally kept a pretty tight proximity to its limit. And that has led to a bunch of, you know, prohibitively small classes where, you know, you're talking about having scholarships in the teens, if even that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also looking at a reality on the field where every year you have pretty urgent needs and you've had to go out to address those. And I just think normalcy pretty soon is going to become Purdue and a lot of other people around the country signing X number of high school kids, but also every year trying to upgrade their roster, you know, through the transfer
yeah.
wire. And I just think that's the way this is going to go. Whether it's 60-40 right away, I don't know, but I think it's – how many transfers has Purdue taken this year now? It's
at least – yeah, it's
more
at least
half
a dozen, if not
yeah.
eight. Yeah.
And you signed, what, 14 kids back in back on the signing date? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
So let's say Purdue takes two more transfers here before all is said and done. That's, and I was told there would be no math, but that would be, you take eight transfers, you take 14 high school kids, you know, of those 14 high school kids, let's say a couple leave after their freshman year, you're not probably not replacing them with high school kids, you're probably replacing them with more transfers. You know, before long, you suddenly get to a point here where you're getting pretty close to that 60-40, 50-50 sort of balance. And that also makes sense. I mean, it does make sense to bring in a more physically advanced guy, somebody who has, you know, kind of gotten the
mm-hmm.
freshman inconsistencies out of their system, you know, to a certain extent. They have struggled in class right away. They have dealt with their homesickness. Bringing in, you know, a more physically advanced, theoretically, and a more ready sort of guy does make sense. Now, what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to evaluate them well, you know, with the proverbial gun to your head, because it's a very short window unless it's somebody you have a long track record with. But also, you have to be able to onboard them pretty effectively. You have to be able to bring them in June or whenever they get here and get them up to speed right away, because they haven't been in your program for a year. So there's all sorts of different dynamics here that are kind of coming into play. You know, football typically hasn't been a transfer-dependent sport the way basketball has been. And in basketball, a lot of these transfers have had to sit out, so they've been in your program. You have a pretty good feel for what they've been. Now, the graduate transfer prevalence in college basketball has changed things a little bit, but I don't know if there's been a grad transfer in college basketball who's ever been as good as they could be joining a program in June as opposed to having been in the program before that. So there's all sorts of kind of weird dynamics here, I should say uncommon dynamics here that are going to have to be ironed out by all of the people dealing with it. But I think, you know, the transfer era is going to be really, really significant in college football. And you're seeing that already at Purdue because of the 14 guys they signed in the high school class and of the 8 guys that they may end up signing on the transfer wire, which of those groups is going to affect next season more?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
the transfers, no doubt.
It's the transfers. And when you're trying to win now, which every coach in college football is, you know, it just makes sense to go get guys who you think can help you win more, win now more effectively. So you are also going to see programs here who are out there signing mostly transfers and might be tapping out of the high school ranks altogether. Now, somebody has to sign the high school kids because if nobody signs the high school kids, there are no transfers. So that's what's going to be really interesting about this. I think that's more significant than basketball. But I think both sports, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all goes.
I mean, it's interesting from a high school player perspective, too, because, I mean, if you're just talking about, the Big Ten, right? So say everyone takes 10 less guys per year, high school kids. You're talking about 150-ish high school players who aren't going to the Big Ten. To me, if I'm a high school prospect and I've got a bunch of mid-major offers, the first time any Power 5 offers me, I'm taking it. Right? Well, I mean, you have to take it immediately
because
there's less spots.
That's a good point. You know, Purdue's going to bring these guys in on the first weekend of June, and, you know, they're still going to have balls in the air for transfers for next year at that time. These kids who know what they want, they have more reason now to commit right away because out of the fear that a lot of these schools are going to take transfers instead of them.
Yeah.
So you're going to see guys maybe being spurred into quicker commitments than they would have been otherwise. And then when kids commit quicker than they probably would have liked, you know, then, you know, sometimes that's a little bit perilous because guys haven't maybe done the legwork on what they're jumping into, thus making them more likely to transfer eventually. What you're going to see in is going to be the most transfer-riddled program or transfer-riddled class probably in the history of college athletics, because not only do they have the free transfer waiver situation here going on, but they also made their decisions based on less information than any class ever because they couldn't take their visits. So this next year is going to set a pretty chaotic Jerry Springer show type tone for this whole new era being ushered in. That's why I thought the NCAA should put this off a year. They should have just said, this is too much too fast. If we're really committed to this transfer stuff, let's push it back, because this going on during a pandemic is just a little too much. Because now, you can look at that both ways. The kids who made their decisions based off incomplete information should not be penalized for it. They should have an escape hatch there. So I guess I'm kind of I guess that's kind of a half baked take there that I just threw out. But it is going to be crazy, because I think a lot of these guys who didn't know what they were getting into because of the situation in recruiting are going to transfer wholesale. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of movement, you know, in the spring and whatnot, and it's just going to be a really, really eventful next year. But in the meantime, you know, I think you've seen it in basketball a little bit. I think, you know, when Purdue got Jameel Brown really early, you know, I think, you know, some of these guys were kind of thinking, hey, all of these programs are recruiting transfers now too. If I see something I like, I'm going to take it. You know, he also didn't know if he'd be able to take visits at any point, you know, things like that. All the unknown out there, you know, has kind of spurred guys into, you know, potentially making early decisions. Now, that's where, you know, college football coaches have to be careful because, again, you don't want your whole class committing on the first weekend of June and then not having any scholarships to use the rest of the year. So this is going to have to be a real sort of closely managed cat and mouse game between, you know, wanting kids, but not necessarily wanting them in a lot of cases too. So this will be fascinating.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, roster management is already challenging, I would have to imagine. And then trying to follow it is also, and it becomes even more so now with all these extra elements added in there. Hey, thanks, Brian.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom. We'll talk a little bit more football, including the kicker transfer. Speaking of transfers, we'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217, or you can email at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Ed Kyle here with Tom, talking a little bit of transfer portal. It's our favorite thing to discuss, right, Tom?
Yes, sir. I know it's really create a lot of, I guess, intrigue, which is good for those of us who cover the sport. And I'm sure as a fan, you got to like it, too. You always that wild card, Kyle. You just never know when a kid's going to choose Purdue and hitch his wagon there. So, yeah, it's been a very interesting offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, usually just, you know, bouncing back to my conversation with Brian just now, it's like you sort of knew – And you do maybe a little bit still, but sort of knew what positions, you know, Purdue would be recruiting for in particular. Like it needed this many offensive linemen in this next high school class. Well, all of that is sort of dependent a little bit on transfers. It's just it's got to be incredibly difficult to sort of pinpoint, you know, needs and things like that, especially with a freshman class that I think in general is going to be smaller, right? I mean, you're just going to be taking 10 to 15 instead of 20 to 25 every year. It's got to be a little bit of a difficulty figuring out how you balance your roster then at that point. It's tough.
Yeah, listen, just I caught the end of your guys' conversation. Yeah, the roster management is going to be fascinating moving forward, trying to strike that balance between freshmen and transfers, wanting to have flexibility as a staff to still have open scholarships to take transfers. And, Kyle, like you were talking about, what happens to all these high school seniors who may get shut out here and now the urgency to commit to places, wanting to get your space reserved at a D1 school. I mean, it's a fascinating dynamic. And, boy, Purdue's been very active in the portal here, Kyle. I count nine guys coming in who have come in. A couple of them are walk-ons, the Dylan Downing kid, the running back from UNLV. And they had a kicker, Ben Freehill from Oklahoma State. They're walk-ons. But, again, seven other guys, are headed to Purdue, five on defense. And again, you have the offensive lineman, Tyler Whitten, and the kicker, the most recent commit, I guess, Mitchell Finneran from Samford is going to be on scholarship. So nine guys total, seven scholarship, two walk-ons. Kyle, they're still shopping, my friend, looking for running back help, looking for a couple of D linemen still, and a tackle. I hear they would take both if they got both, guys they liked in safety as well. And also, believe it or not, if they found an offensive lineman they really liked that they thought could start for them, they would take him too, I think.
Wow. Let's talk the kicker, Finneran, first. I mean, that was an area that was pretty evident that Purdue needed. I mean, it wanted a scholarship seeker, A, because,
yeah,
you probably would. But, B, we had heard, though we had not been able to see it for our own eyes, that the kicking game was not crisp during spring. Perhaps that's a nice way to put it. And Purdue needed some help there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Boy, when we talked to Jeff during spring practices after scrimmages, he talked about the struggles they had kicking the football. And, again, J.D. Dellinger was a pretty solid kicker the last 2 years. Everybody competing was sophomore or redshirt freshman. And I think Purdue really felt more comfortable here if they had a veteran they could bring in, and that's exactly what they're getting here with Mitchell Finneran. Sam Ford, an FCS school in Birmingham, Alabama. They had a spring season this year because of COVID. The FCS ranks did. Stanford's in the Southern Conference. And Finneran was all Southern Conference this spring. He had 15 of 18 field goals. He has 50-yard range. I spoke to him last week. Good kid. And he's eager and excited to get this chance. He's a grad transfer. He'll have 2 years of eligibility, and again, if you're Brom, you got to feel a lot better knowing you have a kid who's a proven commodity that you could trot out there if you need to against Oregon State on September 4th. And again, Kyle, I'll be shocked if he doesn't win the job.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he would be the front runner, no doubt. You mentioned spring season. Tom, the original plan was for the Big Ten to be playing now. Can you imagine? Like, what?
I thought about that last night.
What?
Again. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's just, yeah. I mean, the FCS playing, that's fine. We're not all paying attention. We do a little bit, I guess, if they're on TV a little. But, man, the Big Ten's intention was to be playing this spring. How goofy. I'm glad it did not. That would have been really strange.
Yeah.
You mentioned needing more help. I mean, so you said maybe a couple defensive linemen, safety. What else you mentioned? Maybe an offensive lineman, running back. I mean, they've already taken – nine total with the two walk-ons, you're talking about the possibility of there being four or five more still this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it happens. Again, July 1st is the day for fans to circle on their calendar. That's the last day you can jump from the portal and be immediately eligible for this coming season. So that's the date this year. In future years, it's going to be May 1st, but because of the circumstances this year, the pandemic that kicked it back, for July 1st. So that's the date. So kids have, another couple months here, I guess, to still decide. And again, like you said, Kyle, like I talked about, Purdue's still actively looking for help at those spots we discussed. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not going to take anybody. I think those guys, they could take out if they wanted to at certain positions. But, again, they want to make sure if they're taking somebody, they have to be able to help this year.
Right. All right, so it's a little bit of a different topic. I know you're working on a story on this that you'll have this week on goldenblack.com about some proposed camp practice changes, and one of those proposals is moving the number of padded practices down significantly, right?
From
21 to 8. It's funny, I've talked to former players about this a little bit and how different from 20 years ago practices were in training. I mean, to where you'd have 22 a days in August camp, and now you just barely even ever see two a days. And now, not only not seeing two a days, but now not seeing very many padded practices. What do you think? Will that pass? A, and what does Purdue feel about it?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Boy, the training camps have changed a lot, especially recently. 2017, Kyle, I think that's when 2 days were eliminated officially. May 19th, the Division I Council is going to vote on a set of proposals that would significantly impact training camp practices this year. Among the proposals that are being voted on here May 19th, like you talked about, taking the padded practices from 21 to 8. You can't have consecutive padded practices with contact scrimmages. You're only limited to 2 during training camp. And they also want to eliminate violent straight-line drills like Oklahoma and Bull in the Ring. Again, this is all in the name of player safety, right? And I fully expect, I think most people do, these resolutions to pass. Yeah, I talked to Jeff Brom about this. I'm going to get a story posted probably today, later this afternoon on it. And, you know, the NFL has largely become almost a non-contact practice league, right? It's all about keeping these kids not only healthy, eliminating concussions, but also just trying to get your roster to Saturdays healthy too, right? You can't, as you know, Kyle, you covered football a long time. You can't afford to lose these guys in practice. It just kills you. So, again, some big changes coming, I think, for camp. You still have 29 days to have 25 practices. But, again, the padded practices, 21 to 8, no more violent drills. And also another one was you also have to increase your acclimation days, Kyle, from the start of training camp from 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be running out there with just the helmet shorts on. Or for 7 practices instead of 5 now, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Look forward to your article about that. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. That's next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brom Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Golden Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pit. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinals Grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Be sure to check out much more at goldandblack.com for the latest in Purdue football and basketball recruiting. That'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back again with this one next Monday. Of course, others will drop throughout the week as well. Thanks to our sponsors. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.